Okay, we'll call this meeting to order. Could we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. We have a roll call, please, Francis, and welcome back officially.
Commissioner Tartaglia?
Here.
Commissioner Hudson?
Here.
Commissioner Clemens?
Commissioner Clemens has an excused absence. He's off on business and for his job.
Commissioner Barker?
Here.
Chairman Nord?
Here. Okay, we have a public comment session in every session we have. If you have something to talk to this commission about relevant to this commission that is not on the agenda, this is the time to get up and speak. So if you would like to speak on anything relevant to this commission, please step forward and do so now. Chaz, why don't you close that door too so we don't get too much traffic noise unless it gets hot in here, Will. Okay, hearing none, we'll close the public comment section and let's see, we have consent agenda, the minutes from the January 19th meeting. Any corrections or additions to that, commissioners? Not, I would entertain a motion for approval.
I so move.
I'll second.
Okay, Ron got the motion, Howard got the second. Any further discussion? Call for the vote, please.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barker?
Yes.
Commissioner Tartaglia?
Yes.
Chairman Nord?
Yes. Okay, we're on to number two. The public hearing continued from the meeting held on January 19th. Conditional use permit number 2011-005 and a site review. We have a brief update from staff, and then we'll reopen the hearing.
Thank you, Chairman Nord, commissioners. This is a continuation from the January 19 Planning Commission meeting where a staff report was presented for the proposed project, which is a conditional use permit for two duplexes on two parcels.
Can you speak up, please?
The Planning Commission received the report and opened a public hearing, and testimony was provided in favor and opposition. There were three primary concerns that were expressed from those in opposition. They were related to traffic, single-family dwellings versus multifamily dwellings, and single-story versus two-story. With regard to traffic, any increase in traffic is going to be noticeable, but with regard to whether or not this triggers any kind of level of service change, it's not significant enough to cause a level of service change. The single family dwellings versus multifamily dwellings, the municipal code has a provision in the single family zone district that through a conditional use permit, the property owner can request multiple dwellings. So that's the nature of the application. In R1 districts, in the City of Reedley municipal code, and it's not a new addition, it's been there since the 60s, is that with a conditional use permit with certain circumstances, you can request and bring before the Planning Commission a conditional use permit application for multiple dwellings. And then the last concern was single story versus multi-story. And it was brought up from, I believe, one of the neighboring property owners that the CCNRs for the subdivision reference single-story versus multi-story. And that is true. I'd like to state that the city is not responsible and cannot be responsible for enforcing CCNRs. CCNRs are an agreement between all the property owners. And there's a mechanism within the CCNRs that's laid out very clearly of what you all need to do if you have an issue with what another property owner is doing with regard to the CCNRs. I did take a look at them just to be aware. The original CCNRs were adopted in January 1991. There was a reference to single-story construction. There was an amendment that was recorded the same year, but in April, I believe. And it made it also made reference to single-story versus multi-story construction. So it seems like the owners at that time went back and made a change. I know one of you out there at least has a copy of those CC&Rs. They're, you could share those with each other if you'd like. We have a file for the project where we request a title report that explains to the city staff who's the owners of interest and anything connected to that property. If you'd like to look at those CC&Rs, they're in that file also. The Planning Commission left the public hearing open, directed the applicant to make revisions and bring back a single-story variation of their request with the stipulation that they meet the open space requirements and all other development standards for the R1 district. And with that, I'll give it back to you, Chairman Nord. And again, the public hearing is still open from January 19th. So you could take both testimony in favor and in opposition, and then close the public hearing and make your decision if you wish.
Okay, am I correct, folks? Do you have in your hands a plot layout on what's being proposed this time? Do not? Do we have something we can distribute there? This is obviously a revision from what we saw a couple of weeks ago. So it'd be good for you to have that. While she's doing that, David, let me just ask a question here on the CC&Rs. That is an agreement between people that agree to agree. That does not include neighbors of that unit. In other words, this property was not part of that CC&R, obviously, at that time, and would not normally be included in that unless current owners joined in some fashion. But that would not be typical, would it?
I believe it's the College Manor subdivision, and these parcels are part of that subdivision.
So it does relate to this property?
So I believe so.
Did yes. So that CC&R should apply to this property too?
Yes.
Was that something that I misunderstood last time, or because I was
it was unclear.
I
was of the opinion that this was not part of the CC&R, so therefore it was not under the conditions of that CC&R.
There was a question as to whether or not the project lots were part of the subdivision, and therefore did the CC&Rs apply. There was also a question of what did the CC&Rs say. First, the CC&Rs are an agreement between the property owners, and the city cannot enforce those. But to answer the question, yes, the parcels are in that subdivision, and there are CC&Rs that do regulate multi-story and single-story construction. But as directed, the applicant has come back with single-story revision, whether that's to comply with the CC&Rs or at the direction of the Planning Commission, that's what you have before you today.
Well, let me keep going on that just a minute then. Who enforces the CC&Rs?
It's a civil matter between property owners. There's a mechanism for them to create an appeal board of the CC&R members and come to terms for any number of issues. And it's completely outside of the city of Reedley. They can't agree to do something that the city of Reedley would not allow, but they can agree to do things that the city of Reedley doesn't regulate.
Let me make sure I'm correct here now. This piece of property we're talking about, two lots, are part of the CC&R. Therefore, they have to live under the regulations of the greater part?
They are part of the subdivision that is subject to those CC&Rs.
Okay, and those CC&Rs speak to multiple stories. What else do they speak to? Minimum size lots?
I think they do. Not lots, but because lots were already created, but I think there was a section that pertained to minimum home size.
Does it speak to single or multiple family dwellings?
It might. I can't be positive. And again, in the R1 district in the city of Reedley, it's a property owner right to request a conditional use permit. And the city of Reedley is not going to withhold a property owner right. We are not going to enforce CC&Rs. That's between property owners. Go ahead.
May I ask you a question? These, though, are these multifamily units or are they single family units?
They're two independent structures on one parcel. I think that's just the way you need to look at it, rather than get caught up in
family deals. If they did lot splits, they would be four individual units.
Structures?
They're four individual structures, right?
That's a completely different concept and project to create four independent.
Right, but these are four structures.
Correct.
Designed for a single family per structure.
Yes.
Okay. So they're technically not multifamily homes, as the normal person would think of a multifamily
home. I think the most acceptable and common definition is more than one dwelling on a lot is multifamily. So regardless of whether they're attached or not, if you have two dwelling units on one piece of property, you're going to call that multifamily. There is clearly a difference between attached and detached units, but it's two dwelling units on one parcel.
Could they, within the law, split those lots and create four totally different?
Through a planned unit development, they could, and a subdivision map.
That would have to be reviewed by this body or by the
Correct.
Council?
It would be by this body. There's no right-of-way dedication, so you would you have approval authority over subdivision maps and use permits and planned unit developments.
And the total square footage of these two lots was what? Just over 20,000, wasn't it?
20,550.
If we were to divide it, we'd be at 5,000 and a few feet.
Correct. I believe that's in your original staff report, that the density is somewhere at one unit per 5,500 square feet or 5,200 square feet. The maximum density in the zone district is one unit per 3,000 square feet.
Okay. Right. Just thought we might as well get a few things hopefully cleared up before we go to the public hearing. I would like to reopen the public hearing then at this point and ask for folks that want to speak again in favor of the project or against the project. And might be appropriate to start with the folks that are talking about building this project, developing this project, to just talk a little bit about what you've done and what you produced here on paper that we got in front of us. That would be helpful, I think. Okay. You don't have to, but my suggestion
is. I'll answer any questions that you have. What we did was we brought it down to single story. We try to keep it separated so that we can put the kind of landscaping in that so it looks nice, so it's got a nice feel to it, and we want to put the street lights in and still have the same look that we originally wanted, but without having the two stories. One concern that we have is the block wall, which I may be going too far here, but if we do a 7-foot block wall around the whole place, which they're asking for, I think we have two concerns. One, it's going to look like a commercial job with a block wall around the whole place. It's going to look like a prison. I think the wood fence has got a warmer feel to it. We can do a 7-foot wood fence as compared to a block wall around the whole project. The look of it, when you drive by it, you're going to see a block wall around the whole place. It's going to have a cold feeling to it. But as far as the rest of it, it kind of stayed in the same concept as we had before, except now we're doing single story.
Let me just throw this at you. I happen to notice that the difference in square feet actually went up as opposed to, I guess I was expecting something a little down from the 16, whatever you showed before. You went up by a couple hundred square feet.
Well, no, they're actually, it's down. What they're showing you on the on this side is the whole square footage that's covering the area of the ground that it's sitting on. As composed of the two, as compared to the two-story, it's less coverage on the that's covering the ground area because you have your other bedrooms are on the second story. So now you're looking at 1804. That's the house actually is only they're about 1,240 square feet compared to 1,670.
Is the I understand that. Is the footprint for each section about the same then?
It's about the same, yeah. Yeah. We're covering a little more ground with the single story, but not we still have our open quite a bit of our open area coverage. So we can still get our landscaping in the way that we want it, because we don't want it to feel real tight in there. We want that look.
How much open space do you actually have, percentage-wise?
What did you come up with, David? Is it said 17%? Yeah, 17%.
Okay.
Yeah, it shows that down here on your drawing.
And 10% is a requirement.
17.6%.
Yeah, so that was pretty close to what we had in the other one.
Did you make any other significant changes?
No, we tried to keep the two-car garage because that was important to us too, so that you could park in a garage. But basically everything else, we have the courtyard in the middle, and we kind of try to keep everything on the same lines as we had before.
Okay, we may want to talk to you more, but thank you for doing that for now. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyone else like to speak, please? Better give your name for the...
Jerry Cleaver.
Thank you.
Just one point of clarification that I didn't realize after our last meeting. I went by the proposed property over there and did notice that the house directly to the south is a two-story. The house directly behind that is a two-story. And the house next to it is a two-story. That's something I didn't realize, and for whatever that's worth, that's what's over there.
I would assume that those were older residence units that were there. Maybe the community could help us out, but was not part of the building of this. They were previously in place. Yeah.
I don't want to spend too much time talking about the CC&Rs, but I'll tell you that in looking at them, the original CC&Rs were very clear and much more restrictive with regard to two-story. The revision was clearly to add the ability to have two-story on some of the lots. And I didn't bother looking at whether or not it applied to this one or not. I wanted to process the single-story revision that the Planning Commission asked for.
The April 1991 version had provision for two-story.
Okay, anyone else like to speak? We did get a letter here that I think all commissioners have in front of you. I don't know if you've had time to read it, but the dead leaves. Thank you for that. Anyone else like to speak in relation to this? Any of the neighbors that are here? I don't want to rehash necessarily, but I don't mind hearing your comments on what is being proposed either.
I just highlighted the section that had that no building other than a single family residence and its appurtenant garage and other necessary usual, you know, that is one of the standards that was listed. Another was the 6-foot fence. The two stories referred to, there were certain lots, and I'm sorry that Butch Priam isn't here because he was the one that was the original, you know, his home was there, and he said everybody built around me, but the people that put these together were nice enough to let him know that no home that would be next to his would be a two-story. that was, and it's got the lots in here, which ones were not supposed to, you know, have two-story homes. And I want to ask, did you say a 6-foot or 8-foot fence?
Well, they have it 7-foot.
Seven. So that's the other thing. It's 6 in here. You know, there's just things in here that I think that if the neighborhood and the College Manor had to stick with these, then I think everybody should. And I really do question putting two homes and lots that are pretty much this close to the same size of our lots that our homes are on. You know, if you want to build two homes there, that's great. But I don't think four homes, I don't think there's enough room for four homes. That's just my personal.
Could I have your name and address, please?
Mary Steelgrave, 1490 North Riverview.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else?
Charles Dudley, 1433 North Riverview, one of the two-story houses. Okay, our development was set up for single-family homes. The lots in questions had a single-family home on it. The size, the lot sizes are large for today's standards, but were designed to blend in with the surrounding neighborhoods. As per the CCRs, we could not put a rental unit. It had to be a home. The idea of a commercial complex anywhere in the development was never given any consideration, and that's why we built our homes there. Things do change, and the original farmhouse that was sitting in the middle of the two lots is gone, leaving the two lots with their lot lines configuring to the existing neighborhood. That was done by design so that two houses could go up the lot on the lots, and the neighborhood would be complete. Everything would look about, you know, just like going down Reed Avenue. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else want to speak to this?
Beth Buckley, 1432 North Riverview. I'm probably going to be redundant, so I'll make it brief, but it's basically what it comes down to is it may be four houses, but in my mind's eye, it comes real close to having four apartments there just because of the squishing so many things where only one thing should be or two things should be. The volume is what the problem is, and I don't care how pretty you make it or how whatever you make it, it's still, you're still going to be dealing with the noise and more people in one area than what is normally in this very nice, currently very nice neighborhood. And there's still talk and concern about, you know, I may be out of place here, but, you know, the lot across across from the college and the other little building that's sitting there. So, you know, before you know it, I bet you two bids will be back here because someone wants to build some nice houses over there, too, that are squished onto a lot.
Thank you. Anyone else? I don't want to prolong this because I don't want to pull you all out of your seats. But okay, with that, then we'll close the public hearing and turn to commissioners for comments and questions of staff or builders or neighbors, if you would like. So fire away, commissioners.
Did the developer know about the CCNRs when you purchased the property, or when they purchased the property? Was that done in a title search, or was?
No, we weren't. No, we didn't know about the CCNRs. We thought that lot was a separate, its own parcel as compared to the other subdivision around it. So we didn't. We weren't aware of that.
How long have you owned it? Or how long has the current owner had it?
About a year. Say about a year.
Is what you presented the one story and the two story is what was presented last time. What's your preference?
Well, the preference would have been the two story. Just the style that we had, it would draw families into it. It was designed for that. So it was just something more usable that we could put on the lots that would be nice. So, yeah, if we could do it, we'd do the two-story.
Because it would look, you say it would look nice?
Yeah, because we have more open space. I mean, we've rearranged it where we still have a decent amount of open space, but we can get more with a two-story. We have some other designs for two stories that would look, you know, really pretty there too, but we need to get past the hurdle whether we can go that direction or not. So that's our concern.
And the livable square footage, the difference is about 1,200 to 1,600?
Yeah, about almost 1,700 square foot on a two-story.
In your world, what's the difference, other than 400 square feet?
Well, the difference, the living area, the living room, the areas, the kitchen, things like that, it's more open, it's a bigger, better feel to it than trying to get everything that we want into a single story. It's just the ceilings and everything, the ceilings are open ceilings, they're high ceilings, and we can't get that with a single story.
Hey, your bedrooms are pretty small here, by my concept, 10 by 10,
yeah, that's
11 2 by 10, 11 2 by 10. Get a tall man sleeping in that room.
What were they on the other one?
Oh, I don't have it with me. They were probably, the top of my head, they were probably 12 by, I don't have it with me, 12 maybe, 12 by 14, 12 by 12. And then the master bedroom would be quite a bit bigger. But they would be a minimum of 12 by 12.
You look at this house, the dining room's 14 by 8, the living room's 14 by 12. By today's standard, that's not a very big living space as far as...
Well, yeah, it'd be 14 by, what is it, 20?
Yeah,
whole length.
You have total length there,
yeah.
Right? But that includes an eating area, because it doesn't look like the kitchen itself holds any eating
right,
area.
Right, it would have to have a dining room.
Yeah, you'd have to have
right
some
there.
Kind of... Any other questions of gentlemen?
I have one question. What's your feeling on the combining the two lots into one?
We can do that. I mean, it's nice to keep the property line there, but we can combine it into one. I mean, if that would push it along, we could definitely do that.
One of the things we're doing now is we're talking about single story versus double story. CC&Rs say one thing, and which applies to this lot.
Mm-hmm.
So things can change over time. I know a lot of these agreements and things can be modified at a later date, but if you combine it to one lot, that removes that issue permanently. So now we can't, because I could envision somewhere down the road is, if it's in two parcels, perhaps one of them gets sold off, even though there is an agreement for access, I can envision a further lot split, and now you have four lots, because it is possible to go 3,000 foot lots in that zone district. So this would combining them into one lot would make that issue go away, and that is what I would really like to see.
Yeah, no, we could do that. We wouldn't have a problem doing that. We were with a two-story work. The kind of the idea that we had was kind of like what Wes Isaac had done down below. Those are all separate. The townhomes, the townhouses are all separate down there. They're all individual lots sold separate. But the idea of with the trees and the redwoods and everything else, they kind of just disappeared in there. we can get it that look.
Right, but that still, it changes the neighborhood somewhat by putting the two-story in that area. And, you know, we have a sizable amount of people here that really don't want two-story houses. Yeah. In fact, they don't want your project, period.
Right.
But...
Well, Jerry was saying...
I mean, so some compromise is in order, and I think the single family, or the single story was probably a good compromise that was dictated.
Mm-hmm.
Or was suggested by the Planning Commission, so that's my feelings on it.
We do have multiple family dwellings farther out on Reed, facing Reed, but are there any other multiple family between where this project is and moving south, I guess it would be, south on Reed? Any other multiple?
Fronting Reed Avenue? No.
Nothing. All single family.
I believe it's all single family all the way down to
Probably Bennington. With 10,000 square foot lots or something in that vicinity. So this is a first for facing Reed, and from the other angle on it, I do understand Reed is more of an arterial. It's got more traffic. It's less attractive in many ways for a single-family dwelling just because of the traffic and exposure to that traffic. So it's not uncommon in my book for that to be the place where multiple families do rise, or even retail can rise in those kind of places just because of the traffic issues that sells. At the same time, I do understand the neighbors would much prefer to have similar family units there. I think we've moved ahead by going to the single-story unit. They're, at least in the picture, a decent-looking little house. I am concerned, I guess my concern is probably a little bit like the neighbors, that these could fill up with college students as opposed to families quite easily. And they have no control over that. In fact, the owner of the property may not have, or may have very limited control of that. So what you're introducing there is a different dynamic away from the family residential unit. You may call it a family, it may be attractive to families, but it's going to be attractive to college boys too, or girls, or whatever, or both in this world. Now, at the same time, I know we live within limits on what the city and therefore us can, what kind of limits you can put on private ownership of property, and we all want that too. We don't necessarily want the government or the city or the state or whatever telling us every way to go and every way not to go. But this body, I think, is here for the purpose of trying to find something that is workable for the community, lives within the law, and makes it feasible for the folks that want to develop it to do that and make the profit they expect to make. So David, I guess knowing you're not a lawyer, but you're probably closer than you want to it, if we were to put any other guidance on this that restricted even further, and let's say, for example, we said, hey, we've got two lots, let's limit it to two normal houses. Would you see that as an unviable restriction on the owners of that property?
That's the question for the commission. That's the question that's being asked of you today. There's a provision in the zoning ordinance that says, yes, this is zoned R16, but through a conditional use permit. If you make these findings listed in the resolution, then you can allow the property owner to build multiple units. That's what the zoning ordinance says. And it says that for a reason, to provide an opportunity to do so. If it wasn't intended to allow that to happen, then it wouldn't be in the code that says you could ask for a conditional use permit. Now, that doesn't mean you're obligated to approve it. It means you have to evaluate the request and say, does it meet these findings, and do we recommend approval? And if there are applications that are approved at staff level where that's my decision. I have to make findings that, yes, this meets these code requirements, and then I could approve a certain use. For this level of use, for this intensity of use, our code says this is a decision for the Planning Commission to make. If somebody chooses so, that decision can be appealed to the City Council. But unless it's appealed, the decision is going to be final with you tonight.
Okay. With that in mind, could we have one person from the neighborhood speak or come to the, just pick one person to... on the spot for the rest of the group, but
I'll try and do it.
We've heard, I've written down several concerns. What would you is the fact that there are that they are rentals, is that the number one concern?
Well, number one concern is we were expecting the old farmhouse to disappear and two houses to rent, regular houses to reappear on the two lots. Them being commercial units, just totally disagree with that. We're aware of what happens to foreign land or absentee landowners that with properties. I'm not saying that's going to be the case in this particular case, but more often than not, we see the houses deteriorating, the lot, you know, garbage all over the place, things like that. But in terms of what we were promised when we were built there, I know I went through a ringer to try and get a two-story house there. And so I felt secure in building my house there that I would have residences around me. The farmhouse was there. The individuals in the farmhouse weren't planning on leaving, and, you know, life does change. But with the requirements that were given to me or placed on me by the CCRs, I thought, shoot, it would be a residential neighborhood. My house would be amongst residences. Now I'm coming across that, oh, now I'm going to be right, you know, catty corner to a commercial unit. In terms of cost per room, I heard someone say, oh, well, college kids wouldn't be able to afford. My kids went to Davis. You should see what they get for one room in Davis, you know. And I foresee lots of college kids. It's real convenient being in, you know, taking up one of these complexes and having four college kids or even five in there. Living room is definitely habitable, and a couch works real well. My son was one of those. And along with that comes all of the noise, the parties, the you know, that sort of stuff. But all I can go by is the only thing we were aware of, it was number one, the lot sizes were nice and large. Number two, I could place a house on it the size I wanted. I prefer land to, you know, I preferred having more open space, which is why I chose a two-story. You know, I thought we were well assured that that's as the farmhouse, or if the farmhouse was to leave, we'd have two houses out there.
Is the CCNR currently active? I'm not fully aware of.
I wasn't aware that it termed out. I do know some of the participants or some of the people on there have passed.
Is there an association, a chairman, chairwoman, vice chairman meeting? Because I think I heard David say that it's possible for within the CCNR this could be worked out, and maybe between the landowners and the CCNR could get together and discuss with, you know, what's going on and possibly come up with some kind of solution. I don't know. And then maybe we could revisit this at a later time after their meeting.
My reference to the CCNRs is that they themselves list what the recourse is and how they're to interact with each other. I wouldn't entertain that we tie any of our entitlement process to the CCNRs. They are not the subject of the cities.
Ron, you must have a couple more there, unless you covered all of it.
No, thanks, Mr. Dudley.
Okay.
Any other comments, folks?
I've heard conflicting opinions on fences.
Yeah.
From
yeah,
neighbors.
The question of fence came up. Was that 7 foot by builder's suggestion, by your suggestion?
Originally with the multiple units and two stories, I would typically recommend a 7 foot block wall. That's what was listed in the original conditions of approval. Following the meeting and speaking to the applicant, I said that's something that may be able to be removed with single story. Following that, having met with neighbors, there were neighbors that would prefer there be a 7 foot block wall to block noise and aesthetics, but we've also heard from other neighbors that they'd prefer to see a 6 foot fence. So I think that may require a little bit of direction on your part. Right now, what sits in the conditions of approval is a 7 foot block wall, which depends where you sit on the fence. It's maybe a little bit overkill. It's not because of the cost, but because of the scale and what you're going to see.
And the block wall goes around the whole property?
Three sides.
And normally block walls tend to isolate properties. I mean, we see them now on a lot of big subdivisions where they do wall in the subdivision, and there was openings to in some of them to make the block wall more friendly, but then we have people come back saying we want the gaps filled up because we want security. But in most normal neighborhoods, you don't have block walls between properties surrounding the property from what we see here in Reading anyway.
And why, David, did you or did the city recommend the block wall?
That's when we were looking at 4 2-story units. The two-story is why we would look at 7 feet, just to give you a little bit more height for looking into how you see other neighboring properties. So far, I've heard three different preferences on the fence, and they are the 7 foot block, 6 foot fence, and then 7 foot fence that the applicant suggested. So I'd like to know where you sit on what fencing requirement you think is appropriate.
We're talking about which height and what type.
Correct. And what you ask for on the rear could be different than what you ask for on the sides. I mean, you could see maybe a block wall along the rear property line and side yards using wood fence.
What is our standard now for wood fence? 7 foot? Six.
We don't have a standard. If you build a block wall, it's when you get to block is when you have a standard. You'll have to submit a permit. We allow fencing up to 7 feet in height. If you're building a 7 foot wooden fence, you don't need a permit. If you're building a block wall, you need a permit, and anything over 7 feet requires engineering.
But one thing, a 7 foot does allow a little more privacy around your lot, because as people are getting taller, some of our taller people, which I'm not one of, can look right over a 6 foot fence.
Well, the block and the height has some advantage because of the noise containment or the perceived noise containment. And I guess as a neighbor, that would be one of my considerations on whether I wanted it or not, is am I anticipating increased noise from that lot next door, which I would think would be the right thing. You're going to have four families at best, four sets of college students at worst. In any case, you're going to get more noise. You're right, it does begin looking like a walled little city. And my other thought was you could do the other fourth side and fill it with water and swim in it, but also, the longevity of a block wall is, of course, much greater than the longevity of a wood fence. So if you look at it from a cost to neighbors' point of view, there's probably some advantage to having the block wall to reduce or probably eliminate that cost effectively for quite a few years, where wooden fences get kicked down, knocked down, dug under, and all those kind of things. I put up a 7-foot fence on my property, largely for privacy issues, and also that I have a neighbor that's not all that friendly anyway, so I thought, well, I might as well put it a little bit higher. And I do like the looks of it. It doesn't bother me, the height of it doesn't bother me at all. So I'd do it again if I needed to.
I know I have a 6-foot wooden fence. If I were to replace it, I would go 7.
Yeah. Earlier, one of the commissioners said that it would be preferable if we were to combine the lots, and because somewhere down the road, we could have one part sold without the other part. Well, I would think that back in the 80s, 90s, whenever the CCR was written, with the same assumption of somewhere down the road, this possibility could come up. And since it sounds like the city can be, should be neutral on this, we could go either way. We could say yay or nay. And I just feel that the CCNR is still valid. And I don't think we should make it null and void.
The condition of approval in the resolution pertaining to either a lot line adjustment or a property owners association is not to address anything related to the CCNRs. It's related to, it's for the, there for the purpose of ensuring that the shared driveway will be maintained. And from staff's perspective, we don't want to put upon the applicant which is the better solution. I'll be very blunt and say that one solution is much easier and practical. In my opinion, 4 units do not warrant a homeowners association or property owners association. The more justifiable solution is a lot line adjustment combining the lots. And so condition 42 is asking you to do one. It's allowing, as it's written, it's allowing the developer to decide which they want to do, a property owners association or a lot line adjustment. I believe Commissioner Tartaglia is saying he'd prefer to modify that condition to not give them the option, but say do a lot line adjustment so that the parcels can't be sold off independently of each other in the future.
David, I will take that as forcefully as I can.
Okay.
I would not approve it without that lot line adjustment overriding the property owners association. The property owners association would have to go away before I would consider approving it.
Once again, we get into the, are we going to be a nanny state? They have an agreement out there that they signed, that they agreed to, and it should, I think, they're the citizens of Reedley, and we are here to serve the citizens of Reedley. And I'll be very blunt. I think this should be disapproved. I will not vote for approval on it.
Help me out here if I'm incorrect, though. Mr. Dudley did state that he worked through proper channels and systems to put a 2-story into this. Which is that? There must be within the CCNR the availability to somehow do that, because you did it.
My lot and the ones next to me were approved for 2 stories. The ones, I'm going to say next to Frank's house, for example, and toward the cul-de-sacs were not approved for 2 stories. That's why I was able to do that.
In the original CCNR?
In the original CCR, that piece of property and the one next to me could be a 2-story, go across Kilpatrick to that other one, and that also could have been a 2-story, which it is.
Okay. So you were not simply the exception to the rule?
No.
Okay.
We had the lot numbers here that were allowed to have 2
Well, David, let me ask it again. I'm confused. We're not bound by the, on our decision, we're not bound by the CCNR.
The CCNRs are not your laws.
But we can take it into consideration?
You could take everything into consideration. But the CCNRs are not your laws to enforce or interpret. They could put into their CCNRs that they want bamboo shingles and purple trim. Those are not, from our perspective, those are not the things that we are going to dictate in our land use law. Our land use law allows single-family homes, multifamily homes, single-story and multi-story. We have different development standards for single-story versus multi-story. We don't say you can't do multi-story. We say you need to meet the development standard. We applied that development standard when they brought their request for a two-story construction before you. The direction was change it to single-story, so we then applied the single-story development standards. The CCNRs are not for the city to interpret, regulate, or enforce.
Let me ask you a question, David. Should this commission be split 2-2, what happens? Is that a non-pass?
It's not approval.
It's not approval.
Okay. Does it move on to the council?
Only if appealed.
Okay, any other questions, commissioners, of staff, folks here, each other?
Well, I think the issue is clear with the homeowners. The primary issue is whether they are rentals or not. That's one of the primary things. As far as the wall, I would lean towards a block wall on the back and the two seven foot in the back, 7 foot wood walls on the side for the aesthetics. And I'd be more in favor of the larger units. And so I'd be in favor of the two story.
What's your whys behind that?
I'd like to ask the applicant if they're requesting, are you still requesting the two story variation, or are you asking for review and approval of the recently submitted single story variation? Or are you still asking for both to be evaluated?
Let's call timeout and let's talk. Ron, what's your reason for moving the direction?
The mentions that were stated about the living conditions, and I think you would have a more appealable living conditions with a larger unit.
Smaller footprint, larger unit, in essence.
Well, the footprint, the open space about the same, right? 17%, 18%.
Similar.
See, you lose it there. I
don't see the numbers.
I don't quite understand how you go from a 1,600 square foot unit that is two floors.
Well, that's why I don't see the difference.
But 1,800 square foot unit that is.
No, it's 1,200.
It says 1,804 here.
That's the total footprint.
That's including the garage. Oh, is that correct?
So the garage is the difference. The other one, that 16, does not include the garage?
No.
No, it's just the way it's stated on this version.
Oh, okay. Because
I saw the same thing.
Can't work the other way.
So there's a difference, it looks like, of 400 square feet of living with smaller bedrooms. My calculation from what Mr. Rosenfeld is about a 50% difference in the size of the bedrooms.
Right, yeah.
100 to 150 square feet.
You have more, yeah.
I don't know, that just seems you're inviting much, much smaller living conditions, which will, I don't think, would be as appealable. But
then again, if you increase the size of the bedrooms, it makes it more attractive to more college students. So you're kind of a, you know, catch-22 situation in that respect.
But I would agree with the findings of the city.
Okay, somebody ready for a motion?
What choices do we have?
Really, we have the, we could accept it as it's written. We could accept it with, Ted spoke to the issue of that article number 42, moving to not giving them an opportunity for a homeowner association or a, and I guess in that case, leaving it at two lots, or joining the two lots together, making it mandatory they join the two lots together, as opposed to giving them the option, homeowners association or the property owners association.
Well, George, I'll get you some action going, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, that's what, okay, you're ready for a
motion. I'll move to approve resolution, Exhibit A of Resolution 2012-001 with the change item 42 to combine the lots, the lot line adjustment, and combine the lots into one lot, a 7-foot block fence on the rear of the property, a 7-foot wooden fence on the north and south sides.
Did you want that of clear redwood?
No, I won't. I won't.
It'd be a good one, though, not just some cedar. It's going to get eaten away in about 6 years.
Not pecky cedar.
I guess we can't go that far. But okay, Ted's got the motion to accept it with that alteration to number 42.
And number 3.
And number 3?
Number 3 is the condition that pertains to fencing.
Oh, the fencing, right. The fencing adjustment. Yeah. Both, in all cases, there'll be 7-foot fence. So.
Right.
Okay. Is there a second on that?
Just clarification on 42. When you say, and I see that there's an alternative, but when you say parcel 1 may choose to combine parcel 1 and 2 of said tract 4136 under one parcel.
It'll be rewritten to state the developer shall combine parcel 1 and 2 of said tract 4136 into one parcel by way of lot line adjustment.
Okay. I would second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion before we vote? Art, are you firm in your statement of earlier?
Roll call.
We'll soon find out.
Well, I've got to make a little statement before we vote, too, that I totally understand the neighborhood and how they would expect those lots to stay the same way. There aren't any other multiple family dwellings in that section of Reed Avenue, and I think it's appropriate for them to request that that not be started on those existing lots. I think those are probably intended to be 10,000 roughly square foot, 3,000 square foot lots on R1 or whatever. It seems like much too small a lot for anybody to live on. So I guess my one of the things I like about the commission is you've always got the right to appeal it to a higher body, being our city council. So I'll stop there. You ready for the vote? Call for the vote, please.
Commissioner Tartaglia?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barker?
No.
Chairman Nord?
No. I'm encouraged to go onto the council if you need to in any case and take a look at it. Maybe it'll go in your favor or against you. I don't know, but I would recommend that. Okay, David, anything else for the good of the cause?